Hey, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. And this is a place where we explore the intersection between creativity and student learning. I am a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about design thinking and creativity. And I want to see schools become bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we do on this podcast. We explore it through these kind of short little monologues. We've been exploring, I guess, maybe. I say we, it's basically me, kind of a loner. We've been exploring this idea of vintage learning and the question of what is it from the past that we've lost? What are the old ideas? What are the old tools? What are the old strategies that are actually pretty relevant? And it's a simple concept. It's the idea that sometimes some of the most innovative, newest, best things around aren't actually all that new. They're actually kind of old. And that there's a lot of great vintage things that push innovation and creativity. So that's what we explore on this podcast. Today's topic is why duct tape and cardboard might be a better option than a 3D printer. So here we go. A few days ago, I met Manuel Herrera at MoreNet. It's a conference in Missouri. Had the chance to do the keynote there, and it was pretty awesome. And Manuel is an amazing teacher with this phenomenal makerspace where students engage in creative thinking on a daily basis. And he's worked with Bob Dylan in the past. If you know Bob Dylan at all, he's done some great stuff around learning spaces. Not the Bob Dylan that won the Nobel Prize, but the one who's a close second, that Bob Dylan. But anyway, I love what Manuel's class looks like. But as we started talking about prototyping and design thinking, he mentioned something surprising. And this is what he said. We have a 3D printer, but only a few students know how to use it for creative purposes. Most students download templates and print things out. There's not much actual creative thought that goes into it. So what's the answer? I asked. And he said this, I think they need to start by making things by hand. And that stuck with me because that's been my own experience. See, I think Manuel is onto something. 3D printers are amazing. You can create prototypes in a matter of hours that would have previously spent days to do. And you can make it in a way that's clear and crisp and regular and phenomenal and whatever else. And it beats the heck out of what you would normally have to make with your hands with, you know, inferior materials and you know, a lack of precision. But there's also this reality. There's a value in making things with cardboard or duct tape or paper, you know, the basic physical stuff of life. And that idea is something called physical prototyping. It's this thing where you're actually making things with physical stuff. You're not using anything digital. You're just making stuff with your own two hands. And physical prototyping is messy and it's time consuming. And yeah, those materials are, well, inferior. And what you create doesn't look as pretty in the end. But here's the thing. That process of physical prototyping, although it's messier and more time consuming, it's actually a vital part of the creative process. Sometimes the best technology available is actually duct tape and cardboard. So what happens when you don't have a fancy makerspace? That's a question I hear all the time. So when I do keynotes, when I do presentations, when I write blog posts, I hear this often. You know, what happens if we don't have a fancy makerspace? Or I don't have a 3D printer. Can I still have kids prototype? What can we do in a low-tech class when we don't have one-to-one devices? And in these moments, I'm reminded that it's not about the technology. Yes, the technology is great. I want to see schools go to one-to-one. I want to see them using the available technology that's out there. That's not a bad thing. We need to leverage the connective and creative power of our devices. But the real power is in the creative process. Sometimes high-tech gadgetry can actually get in the way of having students making things that are awesome. Sometimes the best tools are actually low tech. Case in point, I saw this really cool video from Science Friday about a pop-up book artist. And I was struck by the way he, you know, used these physical constraints to push him into being more creative. Notice that he works within the constraints of the paper and the constraints of the space both. And notice that he has slowly moved more and more toward complexity, and his pop-up objects have become more and more creative. And all of this is something called iterative thinking. It's this idea that the more he works on this by hand, the better the iterations are. And this guy is a genius at pop-up books. I mean, these things are phenomenal. You should check out the video on my blog post. And it's a great video from Science Friday where you see it. And so this artist, his name is Matthew Reinhardt, he does this on a regular basis. He makes these very complex pop-up books that are just mind-boggling. And I would argue that the physical constraints, that the limitations actually push him into being more creative. He has to create something that's different. Now, when I watch this video, I'm reminded of the power of physical prototyping. Too often we refer to digital works as hands-on learning, but I think there's value in balancing the digital with the actual hands-on learning, you know, the kind that requires your own two hands. And here's why. When students are making things with cardboard and duct tape, they're forced to be more creative by the constraints of the materials. These constraints make them find solutions. When students are prototyping by hand, they're also able to monitor and adjust more easily. There's no waiting for the end results. They don't have to wait for the 3D printer to print it for them. And that leads to my next idea, which is that when students are constantly making adjustments, they engage in that iterative thinking that I just mentioned a minute ago. They see the design process as an evolution rather than something that you finish and then walk away from. When students are making things by hand, they are a part of the entire process. As a result, they have a better sense of the actual physics involved in prototyping. At times, a 3D printer can almost be like Guitar Hero, right? You think you're making something physical. You think you're making something amazing. You think that you're this fantastic guitarist, but really you're just pushing the buttons. And I fear that that happens too often with 3D printers, that kids aren't actually engaged in creative thinking. They're allowing the machine to do too much of the creative work for them. And also, sometimes low-tech is more developmentally appropriate. Sometimes that's exactly what they need. I mean, younger students especially need to make things with their bare hands. They won't be as polished, but they will learn in a way that fits human development. And finally, there's this. When students engage in physical prototyping, you know, with duct tape and cardboard, they don't have to learn a new technology. For all the talk of students being digital natives, engineering programs are often really, really complex. And they end up spending a lot of time learning the technology rather than actually engaged in engineering type of thinking. But with duct tape and cardboard, they aren't required to learn a new interface. And then there's this idea that sometimes the limitations actually allow for more freedom. Again, this sounds very counterintuitive, but it's the concept that, yes, there are fewer options, but there's more that you can actually do with that. And you see this in, say, the difference between choosing between, say, like 17 templates on on a website versus coding your own. You know, the templates give you more option, but coding your own gives you more freedom. It's the idea of the difference between 31 flavors, which gives you a bunch of options you choose from, or the frozen yogurt place with fewer options but more freedom to make it your own and do exactly what you want. And that's the idea with physical prototyping. It's the concept that, yes, there might be less choices. There might be more constraints. But there's actually more freedom built into this simplicity of resources. Now, I want to make this clear. This doesn't mean that we need to abandon 3D printers altogether. I've seen amazing applications in engineering and STEM classes at the high school level. And 3D printers are amazing tools for complex fabrication. I get that. But sometimes the most innovative tools are the most analog and the most minimal. So, when I taught sixth grade, I had students creating blogs, podcasts, documentaries, all kinds of cool, techie type stuff. But one of the most creative projects we ever did was a cardboard challenge. Inspired by Kane's Arcade, we created cardboard arcade games. Students were not only engaged, they were empowered. They were hitting a place of creative flow. And it was pretty cool. Our cardboard challenges weren't always successful. The eco-friendly home challenge was a disaster. It never really took off. But their solar ovens, their board games, their bridges and roller coasters, those were awesome, even in those moments where what the kids created didn't completely match what they were hoping to make. And they were amazing because of the journey. They were amazing because of the thinking involved. And they were amazing because of how creative the students were as a result. This is part of why I love the cardboard challenge. I promise I'm not being paid money or anything, you know, by the Global Cardboard Challenge folks. I just think it's a really, really cool project. And it's a powerful reminder that some of the most innovative ideas are actually vintage, and that hands-on learning needs to include real human hands. Thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Please make sure to leave a review on Google Play or iTunes. And thanks for listening. I really appreciate it.